Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So I was in the shower, I was cleaning my ass and making all the all sparkly, spanky clean.
I'm not the funny one, I'm the pretty one.
Cock shots. I just checked myself out.
Beatles, music, wine, and then lube up and get on top.
The glory hole is like a dick theater. I've imagined your family.
Which means your pants had better come off. Mama needs playtime.
We're not sluts.
We just love love. Hello, podcast listeners. This is Mrs. Atom.
And this is Mr. Atom.
Welcome back to another episode of By the By.
Woo!
We are finally home from our holidays and trying to settle back into normal life.
Boo.
And wear clothes again.
Boo.
So as many of you know, we spent 2 weeks at Desire Resorts in Cancun, Mexico.
Yay.
And so for those who don't know, Desire is a clothing optional, swinger-friendly resort. There are two of them. There's Riviera Maya and there's Pearl. So we were there. We took a trip to Riviera Maya the first week with the Life on the Swing set takeover. And then to Desire Pearl for the We Got a Thing and Swinging Down Under group partial takeover meeting, whatever, something. I don't know. What do you call it?
I don't know. I was just watching you doing fantastic, man. You've been talking for the last minute. People were like, what? Where's Bradford? Usually we can't shut him up, but clearly Angela has bound and gagged him. It's kind of awesome.
We went to both of the Desire resorts, and both were fantastic experiences.
Absolutely.
And it was just so lovely to be naked for two solid weeks.
It really was. I mean, when your most complicated decision in the morning is whether I'm going to start the day with a tequila sunrise or an espresso martini, and what color sarong should I wear? It's sarite.
It's a great.
It's sarite. It's not sarong.
It's a great life.
It was great.
I'm just going to ignore that you did that.
You know what? The people at home, microphone people love me.
I know they do. I know. I love you too.
Yeah, so we're going to warn you in advance that we're going to have a lot of Desire stuff coming up throughout the end of the year. Podcasts. Mm. We'll try to intersperse some other things along
with
it. But we'd had a lot of emails and messages throughout all of our adventures about folks wanting to know which resort is better. There's two. So which did we prefer and whatnot? So what we thought we would do this week is sort of sit down and look at the resorts from the resort, not from the experiences that we had with the people there, but just looking at it from a physical resort kind of aspect and make that, like, what did we like about each one and what didn't we like about each one? So I think what we should start with is me walking into the kitchen and getting the bottle of wine, and then because look, peoples, I need wine to tell you my story.
Right.
I need wine to tell you our story, and I need wine to tell you Angela's story.
Right.
But you know,
well, while he's walking into the kitchen and getting the bottle of wine, I'll start with talking about Riviera Maya, because that was the first resort that we went to.
So, as a side note, if we just say RM, that's what we mean. We need Riviera Maya.
That's a good point.
Technically, both resorts are in the neighborhood Riviera Maya. I think I measured it, and they're approximately 5 kilometers apart, just over 3 miles.
On the beach,
if you were to walk the beach. So they're actually really close to one another, both resorts. But if we say RM, that we mean Riviera Maya, the resort, and then Pearl is the other one.
Right.
The second one we'll talk about.
Yeah. So Riviera Maya, the first one we went to, it has more rooms than Pearl. So it has 114 rooms. And based on a quick, rough Google Maps measurement, it has approximately 188 meters of beach.
So it's the smaller of the two resorts. But let's start with getting there. From the airport took approximately 20 minutes, maybe 15, yeah. 20 minutes. It wasn't a bad drive. You get there. I'm going to say it's nondescript. From the outside, you would never know what was inside, really. There was a little guards gate thing, mm-hmm. A big, pretty wall, yeah. like solid stone wall with the word Desire on it.
Otherwise, it looks like every other resort.
Yeah, it looks just like every other resort. One thing that's funny is it's got this bridge that goes over it, and, mm-hmm. and the bridge was underwater. But I'm not a lot of water, but...
Right. Well, there had been a
rainstorm. The moat was on the wrong side of the bridge, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there had been a rainstorm just before we landed earlier in the day. And so, yeah, the water was overflowing over the bridge. And it was a decent depth of water over the bridge, too.
I would have guessed 8 inches,
yeah.
maybe 10 centimeters. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it was enough that we were still able to drive through it, but it was a decent amount. And what I think is great about that is there's these signs also right next to it that says, watch out for the crocodiles.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, there's fences up and things like that, but still.
But there was also water over the bridge.
Yes.
It was just like, you know, they always say, oh, it's water under the bridge. But it wasn't. It was water over the bridge.
Right.
So you pull up, and it looks just like every other resort.
Yeah.
Walking in, it was, for me, this was interesting because I expected we would walk in and check in there.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't. You walk in, and it was a nice little, like, kind of shoebox, and you walk in on the short end of the shoebox. But they took us straight through the shoebox,
mm-hmm.
outside into a courtyard, and then into another interior a few steps away from that.
Another little building.
Yeah. And it had 4 or 5 desks, mm-hmm. and you would sit down in the and we checked in.
Yeah.
The check-in process was simple. I was kind of, I don't know, I'm always nervous about checking in, because I'm always like, you know,
I was surprised at how simple and fast it was.
Yeah.
Because it was basically, oh, look, here's your name. And they gave us bracelets. So the bracelets, they're different colors for how many times you've been. So yellow was your first time with newbies. So we had yellow at Riviera Maya. Yep. There were white ones, brown ones.
Red ones.
Yeah.
So brown ones, as I recall, are premier people.
Okay.
People who do the timeshare kind of thing.
Right.
Because they do try to sell you, easy for me to say, they do try to sell you timeshare.
Mm-hmm.
The red ones that time were for the hosts.
Okay.
I don't know if that's different other times or not.
Yeah.
And then white for people who had been there multiple times. And then
yellow
for newbies.
Yeah.
So my only complaint really with the whole check-in process, because the check-in process was simple. It was a couple signatures, a few basic ground rules and whatnot, was there was champagne or bubbly Prosecco, mm-hmm. sitting on the desk. But it was never officially offered to us. And I'm one of those people that I don't like to just...
Assume
that it's mm-hmm. mine. They had a bucket of ice. And, I mean, this is... We're talking... I am nitpicking when I complain about this. And I'm not really complaining. It's just sort of like a... I would have liked if the guide said, oh, you know, welcome to the resort. Here you go. Have a glass of whatever.
So, at one point during the check-in discussions, one of the ladies that also works there had walked up and made a comment. It might have been when she was putting her bracelets on, but she said, as you're drinking your champagne.
Yes.
So she did say that.
Yeah.
And I think it was inferred that that's yours, but also coming straight from the airport and being on the plane, I was still a little dehydrated, so I actually didn't drink my champagne because I wanted to down some water before I really got into alcohol.
Yeah, I downed my champagne, and I think I started drinking yours as well.
Yeah, because I know for me, like, it's, you know, one drink leads to four, kind of whatever. So I was like, I need water before I start on this.
Yeah, you've got the problem where drinks are like penises. One leads to four.
It happens.
It does. No, but
yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, they checked us in, and then... somebody had taken our luggage.
Yeah. It got delivered to the room. Basically, as soon as we pulled up in the van, our luggage went to one side. They asked our name. I guess they figured out what room we were in.
Yeah.
And it was just whisked away. So we didn't have to deal with luggage at all, which was really nice. Because
we had a shit ton of luggage.
We had a shit ton of luggage. But then also that way we can just kind of walk in, do the check-in thing, and get going immediately.
Agreed.
And that was really
great.
Lovely. Yeah.
So... No one walked us to the room, did they?
No.
So
they told us where it was.
They told us exactly where the room was.
And we had a map.
Yeah, we had a map. So we walked through the room. So we get to our room. I guess we'll talk about the room first, and then let's talk about the whole layout of the resort. So we got to our room. We were just about as far as you could get
mm-hmm.
from the entrance. We were at the front. like left, I guess.
We were oceanfront.
Yeah, oceanfront, front left corner. Yeah. So if you'd gone any farther, you were off the resort for us. Yeah. But there was a fence, so I mean, you wouldn't have done that. But the point is, we were at an extreme, which I like. Because it was quiet.
Yeah.
We were right
on
the
ocean. But it actually didn't feel that far, though.
No, gosh, no, yeah. Not at all. You know, I'm trying to think about maybe it was from the entrance.
Yeah.
To our room was maybe a 2-minute walk.
Yeah,
maybe
it wasn't bad. It wasn't far at all, and it was.
And this I should know, I guess, walking from one side of the resort to the other side at most is going to take you 7 with nobody there. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
At most would have taken you 7 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, the room though was really nice. It was very modern. I don't know when the resort was built and all that, but it's clearly, I would say, been updated. Very modern rooms. The showers were lovely. The bathrooms yeah. were nice. Everything just felt very clean, very modern, well appointed.
I would have called it average hotel size. It's not. So the room that we had wasn't huge. It was an ocean view.
It was an ocean
standard
view.
Ocean view.
Yeah.
Not huge. Had a.
It was one of the smaller rooms.
Yeah. 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 But still had a mini fridge that was fully stocked mm-hmm. with beers and drinks and waters and whatnot.
And we had a little 2-top table, so you had a little table if you wanted to sit down, you could.
Yeah.
There were also outside, even though we were ocean fronts and there are lots of other areas, there were some little tables and chairs kind of scattered amongst the, in front of the room, so you could sit outside if you wanted to as yeah. well.
And like you said, the shower was, the bathroom was nice. I mean, yeah. it was, again, small, but yeah. not... like cramped.
The shower was big enough that the two of us could fit in it. It was bigger than our shower at home.
Exactly. I did like the shower. Yeah. And it was one of those, it was a shower stall that yeah. was a good size shower stall.
Mm-hmm.
And the shower had good pressure. Though, I mean, this is, for me, this is important shit. I'm all about consistent water temperature.
And good
and pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, it was, I really liked our room there.
Yeah.
You know, the closet space had enough closet space.
Yeah.
It, you know, things that it did have was an iron. It did have a safe, had a fridge, mini fridge, a coffee maker.
It had hangers,
hangers
in the closet,
hair dryer,
so you didn't necessarily have to bring your own.
Makeup mirror, a lighted yeah. makeup mirror, and then all of the accoutrement, you know, conditioner, hair, shampoo, yada, yada, yada.
Can we get one of those rooms here? Because that's a lot more than what we have here.
Right? Look, you have an apartment. So, you know, it was a well-appointed room.
Yeah, it was.
The television, I mean, if you were to turn your TV on, I think there were 3 or 4 stations that were porn. It was all very, very heterosexual porn. The typical, that kind of porn. Don't get me wrong, I still watch some of it, but, you know, it's not great porn. Yeah, so...
So we got there, we went to the room.
Yeah.
And basically, I immediately got naked. I had a sarong in our carry-on luggage because I wasn't sure what would happen with our other luggage.
Well, we didn't know how long because, you know, we've gone on cruises before where it might take you anywhere from 2 to 5 hours to get your luggage.
Right. And so I had sarongs for us in my carry-on luggage. So I immediately got naked, put a sarong around me, well, around my waist anyway. And you did not get naked right away.
I think I was down to underwear, but yeah. I had my underwear on.
Yeah. But yeah, I was just so excited, and it was warm and sunny, and I was like, I am ready to be naked.
Yeah. So, the resort itself, mm-hmm. like, so we were on the ground floor, room yeah. on the ground floor. There was a single layer of rooms above us, and that's basically every building in that block, or I'm sorry, on that resort is... at most 2 stories.
Yeah, I don't recall there being any 3 stories.
So it's interesting because technically where the disco was and the
okay.
I think the hot tub are technically 3 stories. But where the disco was, the second story is just an open atrium
mm-hmm.
for
mm-hmm.
the where you enter. And for the hot tub, I think it was storage for the cleaning and whatnot
okay.
above the
yeah.
above a layer of rooms. But there are no, we saw no rooms that were
yeah.
on a 3rd story. They do have 4 villas, I guess, which are 2-story rooms with their own pools and their own spas. We had friends that had one of those rooms, but we never had an opportunity
yeah,
to
no,
look
we
at
didn't.
It.
Oh, no, we didn't. We were supposed to knock on the door and go check it out, but we didn't.
We just never did.
We forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's big. And it feels sprawling
the
would
rooms,
be the word I would
I was going
to
say, the rooms feel sprawling and spread out because they are 1 to 2 layers, which is really nice. I quite like that. sense.
I do too, because you never, that means you never have to go up more than a layer of stairs after drinking all night at 4 a.m.
And I think it was also quieter as well.
I would agree.
But yeah. It could have just been where our location was. That could be.
Which is another thing, because you've said this before, it felt motel. So, and what I would, how I would describe that is every room is on an outside. There's no hallways to get into rooms. They're all outside entrances. With that said, there were a couple of rooms that we went to. One friend's room that had a jacuzzi.
Oh, yeah.
They were in a big alcove, but it was just two rooms up there. So it wasn't like a tight hallway. So you didn't get a lot of echoey doors opening and closing sounds. So, I guess, do you want to talk about, like, the beachfront and how it looked?
Yeah, so the beachfront, like I said, we had an ocean view room. So in front of our room, basically going down the length of the resort, because we were at one end, there were a whole bunch of beach beds right along. And now, so for me, coming from East Coast U.S., where you have these big, long, sprawling beaches, the beachfront, the ocean, like the water, when it was high tide especially, came right up really close to the beach beds.
And just to give you a distance, so we're talking at most you had from the end of the beach bed to maybe 7 feet, or just over 2 meters.
Yeah.
I mean, you could almost stand on your bed and pee into the ocean.
Yeah.
That was that close.
Yeah. So, yeah, the beach beds were really close to the water. There wasn't a lot of, like, sandy beach between the beach beds and the water, which is fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was kind of surprising to me because coming from the East Coast U.S., where a lot of the beaches are man-made and they dredge in all the sand, you know, I guess I, in my mind, had that kind of pictured.
That's exactly what I pictured. Yeah. Exactly what you said. So but I expected to be able to walk for a while and then get to the ocean.
Yeah. But we find some of the beaches here in Australia even are like, because they're the natural beaches, so there might not be a heap of sand.
And so what we were to understand was that they normally will dredge in sand and make extend the beaches, but this year due to weather or whatnot, they were unable or hadn't done it yet.
Yeah. So, but yeah, there's a row of beach beds there. Then there's a gazebo, which we had seen, like, morning yoga and stuff. It's just another meeting point, basically. Then beyond that, there's beach beds the entire length of the beach.
So I'm trying to remember, somebody told me that they were in beach bed, I want to say 29, and I think that was the last beach bed. They had beach beds 27 to 29. So my guess is there were about 30 beach beds along the stretch.
Yeah.
But they are right next to each other. You've got you could lay in one bed and hold hands with somebody next to you. But they're still private-ish.
Oh, yeah. And they have little, I'm going to say, like, curtainy things that you can...
Yeah, canopies. Yeah. So it was like a canopy bed, and they were sheer canopies. So you could drop them and get a little more privacy.
Right. And so, yeah, so next to some of the beach beds, as you go down the beach, there was our favorite beach bar, for sure. It was Cece's Beach Bar.
God. And Cece's a fucking genius.
Cece was the bartender, and she was a genius. She made wonderful drinks, and sometimes if you didn't exactly know what you wanted, she would make something, and somehow it would be just exactly what you needed.
She knew what you needed without you knowing what you needed.
Yeah.
And, like, literally, I remember one morning going, I want something sweet but citrusy. And she made this frozen drink that was exactly what I wanted. Yeah. And it was,
if you get a chance to go to Desire Riviera Maya, go to Cece's bar.
She was a white witch.
Yeah.
A wonderful, wonderful white witch. Like, I love her.
Yeah, she was great. And we liked Cece's bar as well because it was on the quieter end of the resort. And so it was kind of a nice mid-morning, kind of start your day, get things going. And
for us, it was exactly what we needed.
Yeah. So it was really nice because it wasn't just that full-on, like, we'll get to the other side, I guess, as you go down where the pool was. There was a lot more of the unch-unch music and, you know, DJs and
kind of
activity
stuff.
And that kind of thing. So we really liked Cece's bar because it was a lot more our speed.
Yeah, so it was small. There was only 4 stools there. Yeah. So you had, you know, from Cece's bar, of course, it's a square, so you have 4 sides. Two sides had 2 stools each. One side was basically just a walk-up, and the other side was only for servers.
Yeah.
Because they have people who serve the beach beds, and so they'll come by and see what kind of drinks you want.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we should have noted, for anybody who was curious, this is an all-inclusive resort, so you're not paying any extra for alcohol.
Right.
And I gotta give them credit, they were very generous with the pours.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they were being skimpy. You would get, when you ordered a rum and Coke, it was 75% to 80% rum, and then a splash of Coke, just enough to make it brown.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we really liked, Cece's bar was great. Mm-hmm. It was like you said, it was exactly what we needed in the morning.
Yeah, and then going inward from that, so away from the beach, we get to that courtyard area where we had first entered. And so there was the lobby bar, which was a really good, it was a huge bar right there in that, at one side of the courtyard.
Yeah.
Then there was the lobby on another side where we had actually, the building we had walked through. And then there was the check-in, so there were, and then the villas on one side, the check-in building. So all of that encircles this big courtyard area that's quite open, and there's nighttime entertainment there. There was a lounge section next to it, so there were couches and beds and
five or six beds, a lot of like couches and sofas. It was very much an outdoor kind of party area.
Yeah, it was.
That surprised me. For some reason, I didn't expect that. I guess being Mexico and it's outdoors and warm, I guess I expected that to be indoors.
Yeah.
But I think they counted that whole area as their lobby.
I'd buy that.
Which surprised me.
Yeah. And the lobby bar, though, was really huge. And so...
And it was open, completely open.
Yeah, it was completely open. I mean, covered, but it was...
No, it wasn't covered.
The bar part wasn't covered?
The bar part was covered, but that whole, like, all the seats and whatnot, if it was raining...
No, I'm talking about where the bar was.
Because there was also a fountain there as well.
Yeah. And so there were some tables and seats and, of course, stools along the bar. So there was, that was kind of a nice congregating area because it was so large. And especially at nighttime, I think a lot of people congregated there. But it was so large. Of course, there were drinks there. And it was just a really common space where people could all come together.
Yeah. And so just to give an idea of how big the bar was, at any one time, usually there were three or four bartenders working that bar.
Yeah.
So it was a big bar.
Mm-hmm.
And at one end of it, there was like some, like, cooking stuff, pizza oven and a griddle.
Yeah, so late night, I don't know exactly what time it started. My guess is probably midnight-ish. We didn't make it down till usually 2 or 3, but they would have food at that end of the lobby bar. So they would have pizzas that you could get made, they would have BLTs, and they would have tacos. So, you know, when you're up late and you're drinking and you're trying, you want to keep going, but you need food before you go to bed.
Second dinner.
Yeah, it was our second dinner was basically what it was.
We were hobbits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hobbitses.
But it was nice to have that option of being able to get pizza, BLT, or tacos.
Yeah, that was good.
So, yeah. But that was only late night. You couldn't get that during the day.
Right. So, there's also off of that little outdoor lobby area, that courtyard, there was the big fountain, and then there was a little gift shop, which we actually never entered the gift shop.
Nope.
Not at that location. I sort of wish we had. Yeah. But, I mean, we didn't. There was nothing we really thought we needed.
Mm-mm.
So, we never went in there. Farther out there, so if you, you know, at the other end of the resort was the pool, again, a giant pool. I wish I had at least paced it off, but around the pool was at least 50 beds.
Oh gosh, there's a lot of pool beds.
Or, I'm sorry, not 50, 50 deck chairs.
Yeah.
And then probably 30, 20 to 30.
I said 20 to 30 pool beds.
Pool beds. Bunches of pool beds.
Yeah.
Which was nice. We never, admittedly, we never used those because it was a bit loud.
The pool there were always, or at least it felt like during the day, there were a lot of activities going on there, and there was a DJ, there was music going, so it was very much the party end, I would say, of the daytime part of the resort. And there was a beach volleyball net outside of the pool area. Of course, more beach beds along there. There was a pool bar that was kind of sunken down pool level, which was nice because you could swim up to it.
And they have actually seats in there, which is both an awesome thing and a terrifying thing because that means that people just sit there and stay there all day. And where does the pee go? Anyway.
So down at the pool end, there was, as far as restaurants go, should we talk about restaurants now?
Yeah, we can talk about restaurants now. Okay. Yeah.
So at the pool end, there was a buffet restaurant.
I don't remember the name of it, but it was a buffet restaurant.
Don't remember the name of it.
We ate there only once.
So, because it was basically all day long, you know, they would have food and all kinds of different stuff.
And then during the day as well, around lunchtime, there was always something outside the pool.
Yes.
One thing to note is that they had some rules on the food.
Yeah.
So in order to go into a food location, ladies had to be at least covered.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to have underwear or anything on, but you had to, like you would wear your sarong.
I could wear my sarong.
And you would tie it around your neck so it looked like a dress.
Mm-hmm.
But men had to have shorts on at least, I think, for the buffet.
I think a shirt.
And maybe the shirt for the buffet. I don't know that for sure.
I'm not sure.
But they would have food outside and anybody could walk up.
Yeah.
You could be butt-ass naked, and they would serve you there.
Yeah, and they would do things.
I like that. That's a good option, because if you don't want to have to...
It is.
Because, yeah. Like, I know I wasn't allowed to go in with wearing only a towel.
Right. So that's why I think you had to have a shirt on.
Yeah.
But it was nice, because one day they would do burritos out poolside, another day they would do burgers. So there was always a food option that you didn't necessarily have to put on any clothing and yeah. be able to eat and get through the day. And then next to that...
I don't remember the names of any of these. I know it started with an S. There was a place, it was an upscale...
Salo.
S-A-H-L-O,
I think.
Okay, there you go.
Salo was, I think, a French restaurant.
Yeah.
That was definitely more upscale. You had to make reservations for it. And that one...
Dinner only.
Yeah, dinner only.
Men had to wear pants, closed-toed shoes, which I have a big problem with.
Collared shirts.
And a collared shirt, yeah. Which I don't have a problem with, but my thing is, if I'm wearing linens, I would never wear closed-toed shoes with linens.
Well, also, women could wear sandals, and guys can't.
Guys could, or ladies could wear just about fucking anything, as long as they looked like they were, air quotes, trying, and they would be fine. It's hashtag feminism? I don't know. So, I do have a problem. I would never wear sandals with linen. Come on, people. Anyway. Yeah. So, but I know they have to have rules and whatever. The food there, we ate there once. Mm-hmm. The food there was probably the best of what we'd had.
Mm-hmm. It was really good.
But yeah. The next place was the buffet.
Mm-hmm.
Aphrodite's?
I think it was called Aphrodite's.
Maybe.
So that was a buffet that was open at breakfast and dinner. It was not open at lunch, I don't think.
No, it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we just weren't there
at lunch. I don't think we ever went there at lunch.
So that one, so how was it different than the other buffet?
I say that, I don't know. So, that's a good point. I don't remember. So, we should probably give full disclosure and say, at that resort, we never ate lunch.
No, because we would get up.
We would get up. They were serving breakfast till noon. So, that you're right. It was probably not open for lunch.
Yeah, because they extended for the Life on the Swing Set takeover. Normally, I think breakfast ends at 11 a.m., but they extended it till noon for the takeover. And so, every day, we would get up around between 10 and 11.
And then go to
And then
breakfast,
we would go. We would have brunch, but basically breakfast at the Aphrodite's restaurant. And then we would basically not eat the rest of the day until dinner time.
Yeah.
And then we'd have our second dinner at the late night food.
Yeah. So we still had three meals a day.
It's right.
Just, our meal started at 11 and ended at 3 a.m.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure. I don't think they were open for lunch, but
maybe they weren't. You
could be mistaken.
Right. No, you're probably right, because why would they close at noon?
If anybody really cares, it's probably on their website.
For real. Look on the website. We're just two random drunk people.
But yeah, so that was lovely, because it was, I actually thought the food there was quite good.
Yeah.
For the breakfast food. And
I was surprised at the quality of the food from a buffet, because I do not like buffets, mm-hmm. but it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And dinner. We had dinner there a number of nights.
Also, something to note there was that whenever we went for breakfast, they had basically an open grill, somebody manning an open grill on the backside of the buffet. And so you could go up and fill up your little dish with things that you wanted and then give it to them, and they would make an omelet.
I liked that a lot.
And that was really nice.
So at night they had that same thing, mm-hmm. but you would pick out what piece of meat you wanted, and she would...
There was always
that nice lady. Mm-hmm. She would make whatever meat you wanted.
Yeah.
And to whatever temperature you liked.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked that open grill kind of buffet. And
yeah.
for the breakfast, it was great. They changed the food, the menu each night. It was Mexican one night, Italian, Mediterranean, et cetera, et cetera.
Different themes. Yeah.
So that it wasn't always the same food, which as well I liked.
Mm-hmm.
My problem was you were never sure what night it was. So the website said one thing, the little piece of paper that we had said something, and then it always felt like it was something else. Because I remember the one night I was excited because it was Mexican night, because we don't get good Mexican in Australia, it ended up being Italian.
Yeah.
What I wish they would do is they have this board that shows like all this, like the today's themes and today's costumes that you're supposed to wear and whatnot. I wish they had put the food. Because food's so important to me.
Yeah.
I wish they had put what menu was going on.
The theme of the food. Yeah,
that way I could look forward to it at breakfast.
Yeah.
Because that's how I roll.
Right. But yeah, so that food there I thought was really good. I was quite impressed with that. And then the next restaurant over, there was a sushi Japanese place.
Yes.
So they did teppanyaki. They had sushi.
So they had two big teppanyaki grills that you had to make a reservation for. And then they had one giant long table that probably would have sat 30 people, maybe 40, a bunch of people. And then a couple of two tops around there.
I wouldn't have said more than 30.
Okay, it was a bunch.
Yeah.
So you would just walk in and they would seat you. And if at the big long table, they would just seat you next to the people who were already there.
Yeah.
So that was great.
Mm-hmm.
My big problem with that was 90% of the rolls, the sushi rolls, had cream cheese.
Yes.
Like, don't put cream cheese in my fucking tuna or on my fucking tuna.
Yeah, I don't like cream cheese in my sushi rolls, but I think they only had two rolls, a California and spicy tuna, that did not have cream cheese in them. All the other ones had cream cheese.
Give me cucumber. I want crunch, not cream.
Yeah, so I was disappointed in that. But we basically, the starters at that restaurant were really good.
Yeah.
We ended up, and we went there twice, two of the seven nights, because we really did like it.
That's right. So we ate there two of the seven nights.
We just ate the
French
rolls.
Place once, and then the other place four nights.
Yeah, we just had the rolls that didn't have cream cheese.
Yeah.
So
I will say, for me, the food overall was average. I'm not going to say it was great. It was below what I would have called cruise ship food.
I would agree.
Not much below.
Yeah.
But it was definitely below cruise ship
food. It was good, and there were a few things that I thought were really great. A few dishes randomly. But overall, I would agree, yeah.
The desserts, I'd say, were definitely subpar. Had a couple of desserts that I really liked, but mostly they were desserts I wouldn't even be interested in trying.
Well, they were beautiful. Aesthetically, were very pleasing.
The desserts were very pretty. The whole restaurant vibe, though, and this goes across both resorts, we'll talk about the next one later, but had this sort of 1970s feel to the plating.
Mm.
The plating at RM was better than the plating at Pearl.
The question I have is how much of that is just general resorts in Mexico or resorts in the Caribbean?
That's a good question.
Because I've only ever been to one other resort in the Dominican Republic, and that was 8 years ago now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything to compare it to.
Yeah. So, that's all the foods. I guess next thing to talk about would be the hot tub?
Yeah, that's where I was going to go.
So, one of the buildings, somewhere between the restaurants, or the restaurant block, which were all within a stone's throw, and the lobby, you go up this huge set of stairs, and then you've got the hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
And at the top there, there were five beds that were kind of open in a big rooftop area.
Five or seven?
One, two, six or seven. Six.
I don't know.
Maybe seven.
There were a
number of beds that were there. Then there was a hot tub that was about the size of our living room.
Yeah.
Kind of a kidney bean shaped.
Yeah.
Or maybe a C.
It was a good size hot tub.
Yeah, it was a good size hot tub. Had seating in it.
Mm-hmm.
Had a walk-up bar with more seating. Mm-hmm. Again, where do you pee? And then...
Okay, now Bradford keeps bringing up the peeing. No, please note that there are restrooms next to the pool and next to the hot tub.
Yeah, but we know how people are. I mean, I got out to pee, but I'm sure somebody was like, I'll just wee a little.
A lot of people got out. I saw a lot of people getting out and going to the restroom.
Well, I didn't do a survey of people who got out and went to the restroom, but I wish I had. Anyway, I'm just saying.
Don't
pee in the pool, people.
Or the hot tub.
So, and then next to the hot tub were three beds that were darker. So the five or seven whatever beds, like one side, were much more well lit.
There was lighting around them,
Whereas these beds were much darker.
There was
and
also,
they didn't have canopies. They were out in the open.
Yeah, there was also a shower up there.
Yes.
Right next to the stairs. There was a little glass enclosed shower.
And again, a big-ass bar that normally had two fellas working it.
Yeah, and the bar was accessible both from inside and outside of the hot tub.
So, and then there's little cubbies to put your shit, and then they had towels.
Yeah.
So, things that I gotta give them massive props on were, I never needed a towel.
No.
If they weren't, we couldn't find a cubby, which occasionally happened, there was a rack of towels on the way to the bathroom. So, you never wanted for a towel.
Mm-hmm.
There or at the pool as well.
One time I wanted for a towel at the pool, that was foam party. But that's because everybody was there.
Fair enough. So, it was... Yeah, big props to where the hot tub is. Late at night, they would turn the lights down low. You could sit in the hot tub, look up at the sky, and there was just tons of stars.
Just stargaze,
it was beautiful. And such a kind of relaxing, awesome thing to be in a hot tub discussing the meaning of life with with new friends and really new family. And look at the sky. And for me, it was such a positive thing because I really miss the Northern Hemisphere stars. So to see the Big Dipper again was kind of a badass thing. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I liked that a lot.
Yeah, that was really nice. Yeah.
So
I will say that one thing I did like about the hot tub, and this is just purely based on how it's designed and how it works, is that one end of it was warmer than the other. Wasn't really noticeable during the day.
Yeah.
But at nighttime when it was cooler outside, you could tell a little bit of a temperature difference.
Yeah, because there was like a billion people in that one warm.
But I liked that because if you wanted the warmth, you could go to one side. Yeah. Or if you were hot, you could be like, no, I'm going to stay at this other side.
True.
So there was at least a bit of a reprieve if you got really warm. You could move away from wherever the hot water outlet was, inlet, whatever was coming in.
Yeah.
And I know that's just how it goes. But we'll talk more about that, how that was at Pearl as well. I actually quite like that. Some people may say that they don't like the differential, but I liked that there you had a choice on which end you wanted to be at.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Any other things that you want to point out about the Riviera Maya Resort?
Yes, a couple of things. First of all, the disco.
Oh, completely forgot about the disco.
So they have a big disco that at nighttime they have DJ, music, etc. I mean, it's this big, huge area that they had lots of music going and shows and stuff at nighttime. So what I'm not sure of, I know that that every night that we were there, they had a live band out in the courtyard in the lobby area. And so there was live music there for a couple of hours, and then the music would start up in the disco. I'm assuming that's the case every night. I don't think that was just a swing set thing. I think that's a resort thing.
You think that there was live music? There probably was live music. Yeah, I agree. There was always live music. That was awesome because it was fun to dance out under the stars and the music.
And be outside.
I will say I had some problems with the music, but it was mostly great.
It was good.
I'm just going to make
your problems are pedantic.
They are pedantic, but I'm going to make them my point now. I love the Spanish language. I really do. Me gusta Español.
Mm-hmm.
Look, when you sing Black Velvet, I understand that the letter V makes a B sound in Spanish. Don't say Black Velvet. Look, I sang Ave Maria in Latin, and I tried very hard to make it sound like the way it was, Latin.
The one that I liked was Cotton Eye Yo.
Cotton Eye Yo. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Yo? God, it's like, that kills me.
But it's
me.
A difference in how...
The uke box?
Yeah.
I understand it. I'm not making fun of them at all.
No.
It's just frustrating to hear your favorite songs. Black Velvet in that little boy's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Black Velvet.
Yeah. It's just, but it is just it's how they say the letters. It's just completely different.
I'm being pedantic.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was fun. It was fun to dance.
It was fun to be outside in the courtyard dancing. I will say that it did get warm there at times because of the villas. It blocks that ocean breeze. So it could get a bit warm there at times. But they did have the disco that was open every night. And so there was a DJ and music going there. There was a huge bar up there. Off of the disco, there was a playroom. Which was ginormous.
Ginormous.
Yes. And it had basically this very long L-shaped banquette kind of thing that was, I don't know, pleathery.
It was like a bunch of queen-size beds, just side by side by side.
Yeah,
by side
but
by
it
side.
Was like pleather kind of covered. Yeah. So it was easy to wipe up, easy clean up. There were heaps of towels in the room, lots of towels available for cleanup.
Should say no sheets on it because they put towels. Right. The idea was put towels down.
Yeah.
But really, I think the best part of it was under it were these little slide outs, under these banquettes were these little slide out cushions for kneeling. They were basically kneeling pews.
Yeah.
So that you could kneel on it and go down on somebody while they were sitting or laying on the bed. Mm-hmm. That right there.
That was genius.
Genius.
Yeah. So, I feel like we need that for our bedroom.
We can make it happen.
Yep. But yeah, the playroom there was really awesome right off the disco. And it was nice because you had the option to go to someone's room to play or just go there. And that was, of course, easy cleanup. And yeah, it was. I actually quite liked that area
a
lot.
That too. That was good.
It was good. And there was a basically an S, like a Liberator type S, a Chase. I don't know if it actually was Liberator or not.
It was okay. Actually a Liberator.
But they had one of those as well at one end. So that was an option for play style, depending on what you're looking for. Two other very quick things I do want to say about Riviera Maya is, one, because this is something that I notice, and I don't know, so most people probably won't think it's a big deal, But the restrooms, the public restrooms, at the lobby, at the hot tub, and at the pool, immaculately clean all the time.
Always clean.
I never once questioned walking in there barefoot.
I agree.
Because at first I would put my flip-flops on because I'm like, oh, I'm going into a public bathroom, whatever. But no, always immaculately clean. The staff there, they were so good at keeping it clean.
But they did it invisibly.
They did.
I never saw anybody in a public bathroom or going into a public bathroom. But they were
always clean. In the lobby bar.
Okay, I never saw it.
But yeah, they did such a good job at keeping the public restrooms and the public areas in general very clean. And I think that just goes to the service and the staff in general. Is I know that with the swing set group, they actually brought out a lot of the staff one of the days at the pool, the last day at the pool, and said, this is all the staff that keeps this resort going, blah, blah, blah. There was a fucking lot of staff. And it's a lot of people and you know that, but you don't see it, and so you kind of forget. But it was, they did a really good job of serving us, of keeping everything clean, and like you said, kind of invisibly doing it. And what I thought was really lovely was basically the first day, I think we'd gone to breakfast late because we got up late. We went to breakfast and we came back to our room to drop off our clothes before going back out. And I think that they were there maybe cleaning the room. They caught on really quickly as to what our schedule was, and we never saw them again after that.
Yeah.
And so they basically either came before or after, you know, whenever we were out doing things, and we never saw them in our room cleaning. Other than that first day when we walked up and they were like, oh, no, sorry. And we're like, no, it's fine. Just dropped everything off and left and they could do their job. But I think the staff at Riviera Maya, I would say, was hands down, they were excellent.
I was really impressed. So is that the last that you have for RM?
I think so.
I would say overall, I would give it a solid 4 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Where they could increase for me was food quality. Mm-hmm. I did like there was a lot of options, but I wanted the food to be a little richer. I don't mm-hmm. know. It was just kind of bland. The service was good.
Yeah.
I had no complaints. I will say we'll talk about it at Pearl, but Pearl was, I felt, better. It's more service quality. But I didn't notice that
until
when I
was you
at
went
RM.
To Pearl.
Yeah. So at RM, I thought, oh, the service is great.
Yeah.
People like Cece, that
oh, yeah.
really, the playmakers, they have these people mm-hmm. that walk around and try to encourage play, which...
Get people interacting,
which admittedly wasn't needed for the week that we were there. But
on a normal week, I can see it being
yeah,
good.
And
yeah.
they were great. They would yeah. be dancing at night and trying to get yeah. you to dance. It was fun.
And there were a couple of guys, I would say, at the lobby bar that were particularly attentive and
yeah.
helpful and, yeah, really good.
So I would give it, all in all, I really thought it was more than I expected, to
yeah.
be honest.
Yeah.
I knew I would like it, but I didn't think that the resort I would have
mm-hmm.
that much fondness of.
Right.
Cool. All right, so let's take a quick break.
Yeah, sure.
And we'll let some folks with the Swing Set FM give us a talking to.
Yeah.
I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And with our powers combined,
we are the Multiamory Podcast.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then come check out the Multiamory Podcast on the Swing Set Network at swingset.fm, the Swing Set FM Android app, or at multiamory.com.
So, we talk about RM.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Poil.
Right.
The Pearl. So Pearl for me, coming up to Pearl, I was expecting... So RM had this sort of... It felt like you were entering a castle because it had the bridge and the moat. Pearl didn't have that. Pearl, I felt like we were honestly in a neighborhood and then suddenly we were at a resort.
Yeah, it was interesting because... Well, I think Riviera Maya, if I'm not mistaken, the road that we went down to get to it, off of the main road...
Yes.
Coming from the airport, there were 4 resorts down that road.
I think so.
Something like that. And so it was very much, okay, now we're going into resort area. Because there's, I don't know, like a crap ton of resorts in Cancun, Mexico.
Yeah, it was a resort neighborhood.
Yeah. But then going to Pearl, we went down several little streets that felt like a neighborhood. There's houses and little things
and dogs and...
yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm not complaining. I'm just saying.
No, it was different. Yeah.
It wasn't what we expected.
Right.
But you get in... again, name at the door kind of thing, and they take your stuff. So this is immediately where I noticed something a bit different. Mm-hmm. So you walk into the lobby and it's this huge
lobby.
It's
a lot bigger.
Like, the lobby is all about it, posh.
Glitz and glam.
Glitz and glam is the perfect way to describe it. So there's, you walk in, there's a jewelry shop immediately open, an open jewelry shop to the right. There's this long line of desks. There's, you know, when we, there's a bar in the lobby. It's huge. And when we start talking to the folks that are checking.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Yes, him. Rather than, you know, I think the at RM it took us maybe 5 minutes. I was going to say 3 minutes, but 3 to 5 minutes to check in.
Yeah, it was really quick.
At Pearl, I think it took us 10 to 15?
Probably, yeah.
Because she went through everything with us. And maybe it's luck of the draw, and it might be.
It could be. It could also be the timing that we got there, because we came at a more, at Pearl, we arrived at a more usual time, whereas at RM, we arrived a bit later in the day. But
sure,
I don't know.
But still.
It's probably luck of the draw, but she did. She went through the map of the resort. This is where this is. This is where this is, et cetera, et cetera. She went through the restaurants. Okay, so this one you need a reservation. This one they're doing Mediterranean this night, Italian this night. She went through, of course, there's a little bit of the sales pitch for the timeshare. Brief. It wasn't
brief,
long
not,
at all.
Not pressury.
No. And then, but yeah, all the little bits of paper, all the activities that were going on. Okay, here's a list of what's going on the rest of this
week.
We got
a full schedule of everything that was going on, which was really cool.
And we got all of this at Riviera Maya, but nobody sat down and went through it all.
Well, admittedly, I never looked at it. And I don't remember the sheet that told us, like, all the menus and stuff and, like when, say, volleyball was going on.
We might, but that also could have been a difference in the, because the swing set takeover.
Fair enough.
Because if we had been there on a regular week, we, I don't
may
know.
Gotten,
I can't
I don't know.
Say.
Yeah. But, so we got that at Pearl. And it took us a long time. And it was actually kind of nice to have her go through everything.
She was very friendly.
Yeah. Lovely human being. So the other big
and we did have champagne there, and I did drink mine because at that point I've been drinking for a week, so I keep on going.
I love it. So you get there, and one big difference too was that we had Esteban, who
he was amazing.
He took us to our room. He took all of our luggage, took us to our room, and that was I liked that. That was really nice. Admittedly, it's a little harder to find your room because you've got what, five towers. Each tower has an animal.
A name like name. Turtle, seahorse, fish, crab, I don't know, whatever.
I don't think, it shouldn't be crab. It probably is crab, but it shouldn't be crab. You don't want to go to, you don't want to go to a swing resort and go like, yeah, I got crabs. Anyway, just saying. But guys, because you don't really want to taste like fish either. Anyway, I should have really thought about this. So,
but you do want to ride the seahorse.
That's right. Yeah.
That's where we were, by the way.
We were in seahorse.
Yeah.
And so one difference here was that it was a tower. So these were all towers.
Like almost like a tall apartment building.
Yeah, some of them, because we met the Aeronauti Escapades, and they were at the
top of one of them. It's like fourth level.
Yeah, it was high up.
Way up there. So I don't like that personally, because I don't want to be drunk and have to climb four flights of stairs to get to my room.
Well, my other thing is that because of that, and because you go up the stairs and then there's like a little alcove and you've got three or four doors off of it. Sometimes there's only one or two depending on the building.
Yeah, but ours had four.
Ours had four doors off of it. So if somebody gets up before you and goes out, the doors kind of slammed. They're heavy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, anywhere from, and the first day somebody was leaving, so at like 5 a.m, you know, this door is slamming. And then other days it might be like 8, 9 a.m. We're just thinking about waking up. And so you hear a door slamming, but because it echoes in that little hallway, I didn't like that.
Yeah. And I know that we woke some people up one night because we were giggling at our own jokes and it echoes. And so they were like, oh, we heard you coming in at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So,
and it's not a bad, it's not a it's big not, deal, but it is,
it's something a little to consider.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah.
So Esteban takes us to our room. Our room in this one was gigantic. It was,
we had a gigantic. We had a, basically a junior suite type room, whatever. I don't know what it's officially called.
Yeah.
But we had a little sitting area, an extra little couch and area that we didn't have at the other one.
And we had a private balcony, which was nice, that had a table and chairs. Mm-hmm. It looked over the pool. Mm-hmm. We did have the little couch area. We had a bathtub.
Oh, we had a bathtub as well as the shower.
A bathtub, a shower, and a toilet, that everything had its closed doors.
Yeah.
The shower was much smaller. The shower is about what we have at home.
And one complaint about the shower
is the shower was shit.
It was terrible. The water pressure was not consistent, and you couldn't get a consistent temperature, but B, if you turned it on and it was too cold and you move it just the slightest bit, it may then become scalding, or it might not change at all.
Yeah.
And it was so hard to adjust the temperature and to get water pressure.
And it, arguably, we probably could have called somebody and had them come in and fix it, because we knew, we had friends that had AC problems and they came in and fixed it.
I'm not sure what they can do about the water pressure.
But though, I'm not sure what they can do about that. The temperature, maybe, I don't know. But it was, I did not like the shower at that one. The room was much better.
The room was good.
I will say the room was, felt like it was done in the 1970s or 1980s. It had that, a lot of teak and kind of style, but it was well appointed and clean.
So so Pearl, just because we said this about Riviera Maya, Pearl has 88 rooms, so it is there are fewer rooms there, and the beach distance roughly measured Google Maps was like 121 meters. So it is slightly less beach distance, but it feels more spread out. But we'll get to that. But even though there are less rooms at Pearl, it's my understanding that there are more of the smaller, more basic rooms like what we had at Riviera Maya. Mm-hmm. There's more of those at Riviera Maya.
Yes.
So it makes it more approachable if you, depending on cost and what you're willing to put into the week.
Yeah.
But it is nice to have that extra space and that couch. And I mean, I got to admit, the junior suite was nice.
I actually quite liked that.
Yeah.
If I had to pick it on room alone, I would have picked Pearl.
Yeah.
From there, let's look at the pool, maybe,
because
we were looking out over the pool. The pool was, let's see, what's the word? Fucking huge.
Yes, it was. It was probably 2 to 2.5 times the size of the one at Riviera Maya.
At least, I would have said it was at least 2.5 times the size. It may have just been two, but it was basically two pools that were stuck together with a wall in between them. Where the reason that wall was there was because the one side pool was heated.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot, because it is summer, but in the winter, I'm sure that was nice. Yeah. And it had a bar in it.
I was going to say, it was nice if it was an overcast day.
Yeah.
To have that little bit of extra warmth in it.
And the other side was natural, passively heated. And then it did not have a bar, but it had beds on they had the quiet side and then the party side.
Yeah, the party side was the heated side, and there were lots of lounge chairs around that. That's where the DJ was. That's where the activities were. That's where the bar was. It was definitely a lot noisier at that end. So if you wanted that activity and all of that, and that was definitely the busier end.
Yes.
Most people were there most of the week.
Yeah.
The other side, the quiet end, or
which was where we were.
Or as they called it when we checked in, they called it the hangover end.
Which is why we were there.
but that end had, there were a
six beds maybe?
Yeah, a handful of beach beds. And it was, there was a little bit of shading on that side as well because of where the trees were and stuff. So you could be out in the sun or you could have a little bit of shading depending on how long you're in the water. But that was really nice because you could still be in the water and in the pool and be socializing and talking to people, but not be yelling over the music and not have all this activity going on around you. And that's That's, again, it's more our speed.
I really liked that side because, again, you had a pool that was the size of our apartment, maybe bigger than our apartment. Yeah. And I think the most people I counted in it at one point was 8. And
in the
four,
water.
In the water. And 4 of them were us.
Yeah.
You know, you and I and then the friends that we were with at the time. You know, that's kind of amazing to have that much space just to sit and frolic.
And it, I was going to say, it was lovely to be able to kind of swim around and frolic and you know, just kind of play with each other and whatever. But again, it's just, you don't feel cramped.
Yeah.
And so that was lovely.
And so another thing I have to give props to, and it's unfair because we didn't utilize the pool really at RM.
Yeah.
But the serving staff was amazing.
Oh my God, yeah.
Every 15 minutes,
Miguel was coming around
saying, hey, do you need anything to drink? Do you want any food? And he would bring you nachos and fajitas.
And if we were out there for any length of time and if we ordered the same drinks twice in a row, he would just start bringing them every now and again. He would just bring another round of drinks.
Well, the first day that we were there, what were we ordering? We were ordering mimosas.
Yeah.
And I think he just kept bringing them.
He did.
And at one point, there was 4 of us. Each of us had a mimosa in our hands. And I think there were 6 lined across the pool.
Yeah.
It was like, we're in heaven.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
So, just to kind of jump ahead a bit, I would say service alone, Pearl was, if you were...
It was that extra bit above.
Just above,
But what I would say the difference to me was not necessarily service like in restaurants and rooms and things like that. It was the staff that came around to you.
Yes.
And that could be how the resort is set up because it's, I don't know. I don't know what the difference is. But the staff that would come to you, like around the pool area, hot tub areas, just, and even at the lobby, we'll talk about how the lobby was set up. But maybe it is more because they have to come to you more as opposed to you going to them. I don't know. But the service was, I would say, a lot better at Pearl. Yeah.
So that was the pool area. So let's talk about, I guess, restaurants.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So you had, again, I think it was called Aphrodite there as well.
It was,
That was they didn't have a buffet. They had a buffet at breakfast, but you could also order off of a menu. Slight nitpicky. It wasn't obvious that you could order off of a menu at breakfast.
No, we didn't know until like day 3 that you could order off of, but it was basically like, do you want an omelet? Do you want, they had things that you could order, but we never saw a menu.
Yeah, not at breakfast.
It was more just, what do you want? If it's not up at the buffet, see if they've got it.
But at lunch, they had a lunch service menu, which was nice, and they also had a buffet.
Mm-hmm.
And then at dinner every night, they didn't have a buffet. There was no buffet at dinner at that resort. So
it was all table service.
It was always table service, and it was always a different menu, which is nice. But it does make for a slower dinner.
It makes for a slower dinner. And also, this probably is counterintuitive for most people, but I found by having the menu in front of me, and I was like, ooh, this all looks good. So I would order, like on a cruise, multiple things.
Yeah.
But then you're more tempted to eat it all, as opposed to if, like at the buffet at Riviera Maya, I would get small bits of things and try a lot of different things. So I actually ate more at Pearl than I did at Riviera Maya.
That's funny.
Yeah. But most people would think a buffet, you're going to eat more. But I didn't. I would eat less.
I think that's the same for me as well, is you pick and choose a little more more at a buffet. So the food quality was pretty good at Aphrodite's. Mm-hmm. I actually quite liked most of the things
I didn't like the breakfast as much.
I will say, I think that's a good point. I think breakfast at Pearl wasn't as good.
No, I didn't like breakfast as much. But they also did have outside of that, because Aphrodite was right next to the pool as well there, they did have the daytime lunches and things, you know, the burritos, the burgers, that kind of thing, being cooked right by the pool, except for one day that had some poor weather. They had to cancel that. But otherwise, you always did have the outside lunches. So again, you didn't necessarily have to get dressed to get food during the day.
Yeah. So around there as well, there was a restaurant upstairs called Unique.
Yeah.
Which I would say out of 2 weeks was the one experience that I had that was terrible.
It was awful.
The food was abhorrent.
So you had to have a reservation to go there. It was a small restaurant. Maybe
10 tables?
I would have said 20-some people.
Yeah.
So yeah. But the food was... So we thought, this is going to be a really nice dinner. We were all excited. We went there with C&D from Swinging Down Under. And it was
terrible. Wanted to make it special
because,
you know, this was the unfortunately the only dinner that we had, just the 4 of us.
Yeah.
And we were hoping to make it special. We were hoping to spend, and we had quality time. Mm. It was great to see them and chat with them. But they were the only highlight of that meal.
Yeah.
The food was horrific.
Mm-mm.
The lighting in that restaurant was red.
Yeah.
Nothing looks good under red light except for women and men. Bodies. Humans.
Right. But not food.
But not food.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat something under a red light.
Yeah. Yeah. Unique was, I'm going to say, a unique experience and not one that we necessarily enjoyed.
Yeah.
And we even had friends that were going to go the next night and they said something to us about going and we were like, don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't waste your time. Don't waste it. It's not worth it. Yeah.
So that was a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
I was really kind of bummed about that because I expected that to be one of those unique moments where it was like, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
It was not. The other restaurant, however, which I think on a normal week is reservation only as well.
I think it is.
But this week they didn't do reservations.
It was first come, first serve.
First come, first serve. It was epic. I really enjoyed it. Pearl?
I think it was called Pearl. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my favorite dining experience of the 2 weeks.
That was. And so they had different menus. They had a French menu, Italian, and I think Mediterranean. Yeah. And they rotated through. Yeah. And so we managed to catch all three of those.
Yes. My favorite was French.
No, I would agree.
Yeah. My least favorite would have been Mediterranean, I think.
Ah, see, I thought Italian.
Yeah, I liked the Italian.
Okay.
It was really good.
It was good, and it was a decent-sized restaurant, and so there was a fair number of people around, but not so much. But I thought the lighting was good, the service was good there, the food was good quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, overall, I think the food was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Breakfast, you're right, was subpar.
Breakfast was better at Riviera.
Dinner was, however, better, I think.
Yeah.
Breakfast was less, dinner was more.
We didn't find a sushi place there, though.
Well, no, they did not do sushi.
Yeah,
that's
which was
true,
weird, I thought.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
So, I guess the last thing really to talk about individually would be, well, two things, I guess, would be the bars and then the, and pizza at night,
yeah,
and then the hot tub.
Yeah.
So, bar-wise, there was a great bar in the... And I guess there's a bunch of stuff. The disco. There was a great bar in the lobby,
mm-hmm,
which was also right outside of where the disco was. So it was pretty hopping most mm-hmm nights. Good service.
There were a couple of bar stools at the bar. There was also some couch and chairs kind of just across the walkway from it. So that was basically the answer to the lobby bar at Riviera Maya. This one was inside as opposed to outside.
Yes.
And it wasn't as large.
Right.
But it was, one of the bartenders there, he was Julio.
Julio.
Yeah. He was fantastic.
I liked him a lot.
Great personality, good drinks. That's kind of where we ended up for nighttime drinks was at the lobby bar. Because it was good drinks. It was kind of a general meeting place, being right outside the disco with the entertainment going on. It was kind of where you wanted to be was at the lobby. And right outside of that, there was a seating area. So there was a big long table where you could congregate a large group of people. There were also smaller tables of like 2 to 4 people around. And then there was this other little, I'm going to say a coffee cart type thing. It wasn't exactly a coffee cart. It was bigger than that.
It was a great little name was Addiction.
Yeah. But it was basically just a small little area, big enough for somebody to kind of fix things in and whatever. But in the mornings, they would have coffee, tea, some fresh fruits and some small pastries and things like that. Maybe a ham and cheese croissant, chocolate croissants, different pastries. So it was a nice place to get a quick little snack if you didn't want to actually go sit down and do a breakfast at Aphrodite's, which was lovely. I actually really liked that.
I really liked that.
We utilized that on 2 of the days where we just wanted a quick breakfast.
Yeah.
And
maybe more than that. Maybe 3 of the days.
Could have been 3 of the days.
I know I got a coffee there a lot.
Yeah.
As a side note, the coffee is horrific. Both resorts.
It's American coffee.
Terrible
right?
coffee.
Yeah.
Even the brewed, like the espresso was horrific. Yeah.
That was also where they did the late night food. So they had pizzas and tacos there. They didn't do BLTs. It's fine. But they did the pizzas and the tacos. And it's my understanding that that had only been open a few weeks.
Yeah, because the fella said it would. Because the first day I said something. I commented somehow. And the guy was like, oh, yeah, this is only our second week or third week of being open.
I don't think it had been open for long. But it was a lovely addition.
Really liked
and
that.
And I'm really glad that they had that.
I completely agree. It was a great idea. So
Yeah, I really liked that. That was a good space. It had good eating space. All of that was covered.
Yeah.
And that's also where they had the live bands, mm-hmm. was, again, outside, but it was still covered.
Yeah, where they had the live bands at nighttime was outside of the lobby area, which was interesting because I feel like the lobby itself was utilized more at Pearl than at, yes, Riviera Maya. But Riviera Maya had a bigger courtyard, whereas Pearl didn't have as big of a courtyard because they had a larger fountain area,
yeah,
that took up a lot of that space.
Yeah, it was like a lush jungle fountain, yeah, at Pearl.
Yeah.
So, lastly, I guess, would be the hot tub. And the hot tub at Pearl was larger than our living room.
Oh my God, it was
area.
Huge.
It was huge.
It was probably 2 to 3 times the size of the one at Riviera Maya.
At least, yeah. And it, again, had a bar.
It was also round, so it was different shape.
Yep. And then it also had different levels of like, seating and walking to where...
Yeah, so you could be seated to where just your hips were underwater, or maybe, like, for me, up to my boobs. So there were different levels that I could be sitting at, and then standing, of course, as well.
And then I think there were probably 6 or 7 beds around it, none of which were really well lit.
Probably more than that. They were not well lit, yeah.
So it was, yeah, it was a...
And cubbies there as well.
Yeah, cubbies as well for your stuffs.
Yeah.
It was always populated.
Yeah.
Very busy.
Yeah,
very
so popular. I will say, just to give you a frame of reference, when we first got to Riviera Maya, the first night at Hot Tub Happy Hour, we walked up and there were 65-ish people in the
hot tub.
Yeah. Still space for more, so of course we jumped in, but there was still space for more. When we walked up to the hot tub at Pearl, there were around 100 people.
We did a quick count of 100,
and there was still plenty of room.
There was tons of space. Yeah. I would have said 100, 110 people were in there, and there was probably 2/3 full.
Yeah.
So there was a lot. There was,
yeah, so it
easily
is...
Easily you could have fit 30, 40
yeah,
more people in
it is
in there.
Significantly bigger, and there's, of course, a bar there as well.
Yeah. A big old bar.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, is there any other...
Disco?
Oh, yeah.
And nightly
disco.
Entertainment.
I keep forgetting the disco. Yeah. Almost each night we went to the disco. It's a smaller disco than what's at RM. But the shows that we saw were...
Oh, the shows were amazing. So the
Some of the shows were amazing. Some of them were... Meh.
Yeah. The footprint of the disco is smaller, but they have a higher ceiling.
Yeah.
So they're able to do different acts. And we didn't necessarily... Oh, we did, yeah, because they did some silks and some stuff there.
Well, they did the thing where the guys had those poles.
Maybe that was it.
And they were climbing up to the top of the poles, and they were it was very Cirque du Soleil kind of shit.
It was, and so, but they're able to do that a bit more at Pearl because I think they have the higher ceilings. That's at least what we were told.
Yeah.
But as far as dancing and whatnot goes, the disco at Riviera Maya had more floor space.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pearl had the live band out front of the lobby every night. And that was really good. That was, again, good dancing and entertainment there. And then they would do the show in the disco around 10:30 or so, I think, every night. And the shows were quite good. The few of them a bit heteronormative and whatever.
Yeah.
Where they would bring people up from the audience and, okay, now the ladies have to do a dance and we get to vote on who does the best. You know, general kind of stuff, whatever. But the shows, I think, at Pearl were really, really good. There was a playroom off of that disco as well.
Which was tiny.
Quite comparatively, because we'd already been to RM. But the one at Pearl was a lot smaller. It was basically a U-shape of banquettes.
It was about the size of a standard bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was U-shaped banquettes all around on 3 sides. Only really maybe 20 towels outside of the room.
Yeah.
So,
and I would have said 4 official play spaces, basically, because they were banquettes. And there was a mound in the center between the beds.
There was,
that you could not move.
No, you could.
It was extremely heavy.
Well, it was heavy, but you could move it if you were determined. but there were, I was disappointed in the number of towels that there were compared to RM because and maybe it's just sheer size of the room, but there was maybe 15, 20 towels on a little table outside of the playroom. But the beds themselves, the play beds, were covered in like a fabric.
Yeah.
And it did come off, so they could wash it. And I'm sure they did wash it probably every day. But at the same time, it was not like the stuff where it's plasticky on one side and fabric on the other.
Exactly.
So if there's any moisture, or if you're a squirter, anything like that, it's going to soak through.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that as much.
I agree.
It felt plusher because there were pillows and things like that, but it just didn't feel as cleanable to me.
I agree. It was darker and more sensual, and it did feel plusher. But at the same time, I'm looking at this going, this is very difficult to clean.
Mm-hmm.
This is not conducive to a bunch of people playing. This is conducive to a single couple, maybe a couple couples playing in very secluded areas. It didn't do what I wanted it to do.
Yeah. And I am curious because we know that Riviera Maya, we were told by people that have been there year after year that that one was redone since last year, that playroom.
Yeah.
So I am curious to see if they do anything with Pearl in the coming years or if it's just they're two different feels, two different resorts.
I mean,
that's completely possible.
Yeah.
Because again, some people want one thing, some people want another. So depending on what you're looking for.
So you talked about bathrooms and whatnot at RM. What was your opinion at Pearl?
So the lobby bathrooms were always clean because they're inside.
Yeah.
And I will say that the lobby bathrooms at Riviera Maya were outside.
True.
So you go into them from outside. But the ones at the lobby were always nice and clean. I will say that the ones by the hot tub, I only used once. I felt a little squeaky in them.
I will say I did the exact same thing.
The hot tub ones weren't as clean.
No, as I'd hoped.
Yeah, there were only a couple of stalls, and it felt squeaky. Yeah, so
the ones by the restaurants and the pool were nice.
Those ones were nice, but they still, and this is a minor thing, but they still always had wet floors because people are coming in from the pool.
Fair enough.
However, at Riviera Maya, people are always coming in from the pool, and they didn't have a wet floor.
That's a good point.
I don't know how that happens.
It was a lot farther from the pool.
It was a little bit further, yeah.
So the ones at Riviera Maya were a lot farther, so maybe your
not
feet dry
really
off.
Though, because you had to go down that little hallway next to Aphrodite's to get to the ones.
Fair enough, yeah.
So they weren't really any further.
Maybe not.
But I don't know. But so they were clean, but there was water on the floor, so I still always wore my shoes.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, when it's a nice dry floor, I'm not really worried about is that water or is it pee?
Yeah.
You know?
Fair enough.
I mean, I know it's probably water because it
not
probably
in the men's
is,
restroom.
But, well.
Us guys, we can't aim. You got shit aim. I mean, if you've ever seen me try to come on your breasts, and next thing you know, you've got it in your eye, your hair, and in your belly
button.
And
the wall and the ceiling.
And none of it is on your tits. I mean, you know we can't aim. Just say it.
Fair point.
I try, but I can't control myself.
So, I mean, I will say that, you know, for me, it was just... Yeah, if honestly, and also the other thing was at Pearl, the quiet end of the pool, there were no public restrooms at that end. And so we had to go all the way, which was a fair distance, to where the restaurant was at the noisy end of the pool and go to the restrooms down there.
Yeah.
Which was a fair walk. Our room was a lot closer, so I just always went back to our room because A, it was cleaner, and B, it was a hell of a lot closer. So I was disappointed that there weren't any restrooms on the quiet end of the pool.
I agree. So the funny thing is, there were restrooms, but they were staff only, which we used them anyway, but they were staff only.
They were staff only for the dive shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's look at a quick comparison between the two. Like what? So I guess the wrap-up of Pearl.
Okay.
On a scale of stars, again, I would give it 4 stars.
Yeah.
It's funny. I give it 4 stars for different reasons. Mm. The service at Pearl was exemplary.
It was a step above, yeah.
Yeah, definitely a step above. We commented on it more than once. That it was very clearly a service-based resort.
Yeah.
The rooms, for me, a little dated, but not in a bad Mm-mm. way. The cleanliness of the rooms, they were clean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For me, RM went a step above on the rooms.
Because of the presentation.
Yeah, the presentation. We always had different towel animals. It was like being on a cruise at RM.
That's
true, had different towel animals and whatnot, and we really didn't get that at Pearl.
And actually, I will say, we took a picture. You may have posted it. I don't even know. One of the days, the lady, or I'm assuming lady, I don't know, whoever did our room.
It was a lady who was doing our room.
Okay. That did our room. She did swans out of the towels, and we had our cum rags sitting there because we were giving out cum rags and sunscreens. And so... she took one of the cum rags and put the swan on top of the cum rag, our by-the-by cum rag, and the swans were sitting on there. And we also had little koalas that we were giving out to some of the people. And so she took one of the koalas and put it on the swans. And so I thought it was really cute that she kind of incorporated things that we had there and you know, and made it part of it.
And we know that some people had, like, sunglasses put on their animals.
Yeah.
Like, RM, it was very, like,
it did feel like a cruise. Kind of.
It felt like a cruise. And I really liked that.
Yeah.
And I gotta be honest, this is... I guess it's stupid, but I was expecting that at Pearl. And when I didn't get it, I sort of missed it.
It's also one of those minor things. Oh, another thing I will say, a difference between the two, was room service, like when our room was cleaned.
Yes.
And when they came to the room. At Pearl, so basically at Riviera Maya, they came and they cleaned the room once a day.
Yeah.
That was it, right? At Pearl, they would come and clean the room. It was not at the same time every day.
No.
And so sometimes we, and our schedule was pretty much the same most days. But they would sometimes come late morning. They would sometimes come mid-afternoon. It was not the same.
We had them knock once before we even woke up.
Yeah. And so it was not the same time every day. The other thing was they would come and do like a nightly turndown service, which some people, sure, that's nice and whatever. I don't really care about that personally.
Don't touch my drapes.
Yeah. Well, I can pull my own covers down.
Yeah, you can. Sorry.
But they would come and like, that was sometimes, again, when we were in the room and sometimes not. And it's just, it wasn't consistent timing. So I appreciate the service, but I felt like at Riviera Maya, they kind of learned quicker our habits and worked around that.
I would rather you learn my habits and work around it than smother me with your service.
Yeah, yeah.
And not everybody's like that. Different strokes, different
true,
folks.
Fair enough.
But yeah, for me, I prefer Riviera Maya's service over Pearl.
Overall.
Food, it's funny. Breakfast definitely goes to Riviera Maya. Dinner, barring unique, goes Pearl. To Pearl.
So they're head-to-head, I would say.
Bars, I would say you're about even.
Even.
Pearl probably edges out only because of the quality of service from Julio. But then you've got Cece at Riviera Maya.
You've got the drinks at Cece made, yeah.
Like, it is a evening drinks, day drinks.
Yeah.
And admittedly, we drank more during the day. So maybe it is Riviera Maya.
Yeah.
If you look at beach and beachfront, I prefer Riviera Maya over Pearl because Riviera Maya is a much more private feeling beach.
I will say one thing we didn't talk about as well with Pearl was that while there were beach beds, they also had a lot of lounge chairs along the beach. So it wasn't only beach beds, whereas Riviera Maya, it was only beach beds. But at the same time, because the pool basically goes most of the length of Pearl, there were beach beds all along that length, but again, it was not as quiet and private.
Yeah, whereas, some of them were double stacked as well.
Yeah, whereas Riviera Maya, there was the quiet end down away from the pool, so if you wanted a beach bed just to kind of snooze on and really be away from things a bit and have some privacy and quietness, you could do that. I felt it was easier there.
The beach at Pearl was a much more public beach as well, because they have this nice pier, but it's a public pier. Yeah. Anybody can go to it. So, and then there was a bunch of housing, because there was, you know, Airbnbs that were right next to Pearl. Whereas at Riviera Maya, you've got resorts on either side. So occasionally you'd have people walk back and forth, but they were resort people. They weren't potentially locals. And we saw kids and whatnot walking around Pearl Beach.
And the other thing to note for people who don't know is there was security there. And so security was always keeping, they were always along the beaches kind of right as you were getting onto official resort property. And so they were making sure that people didn't just wander up into the resort from the beach. Yeah. So that's not a concern. That was always well done.
The security on both sites was exemplary.
Yeah.
So I think overall, and we had it described to us this way, was that RM is very urban. Mm-hmm. It's busy. There's always something going on. You can't go from location to location without bumping into somebody, most commonly somebody you know, and chatting. So a walk that should have taken you anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes would often take you up to 30, 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Just to go from the bar to lunch was a long walk.
Yeah, because you would stop and talk to people. And it was, I would say that the public spaces were and this goes back to the urban feel, but the public spaces were a bit tighter.
Yeah,
in
more
that,
public.
In that it I'm going to say, almost forces or encourages interaction with others.
Yeah.
And I like that because you're at a swinger-friendly resort.
Yeah, you're there to interact with people. So put me in a location that forces me to interact with people.
Or encourages it.
So, you know, and it is, I think for introverts, it's a lot easier at RM to talk to people.
Make
because
friends and,
you
yeah.
are always up near people. Even in the more relaxed areas, there were places where you could get away.
Oh, yeah.
But you're always encouraged to bump into people.
Yeah.
Whereas Pearl, whereas RM is urban, Pearl is suburban. So it was very easy to walk from location to location. And while it may take you a little while longer to make that walk, it was unlikely you were going to bump into somebody. period.
Yeah, and there were also multiple paths that you could take.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going from the lobby to the pool or your room to the pool, there were maybe two or three different paths you could take. So that also reduces your chances of running into someone maybe that you know.
Yeah.
But it did, because the public spaces are much bigger, it does feel more suburban, even yes. though the rooms are in towers. And there's basically, what, five towers or something, I think?
There were five towers,
yeah. And so it is interesting how much more spread out it felt. And I don't know. It was interesting. It was really kind of different.
Yeah. One thing I liked about Pearl was how lush it was.
Yes.
There was, like, it felt like you were in a fucking jungle.
There were a lot of greenery.
Whereas RM...
Was a lot of greenery.
Yeah.
English hard.
Yeah. Whereas RM had, it felt beachy.
Yeah.
There was just palm trees.
Yeah.
And open areas. Whereas Pearl was very green and lush mm-hmm, and like you would walk along and there'd be plants everywhere. Yeah. And I liked that too.
It's interesting because while they're very, very similar, they're also quite different.
The feel is very different.
And when people ask us, which did you like better? I can't answer that necessarily because depends on what you're looking at and what's important to you.
Yeah.
And they both have their positives and negatives. And it just, again, it's what matters to you.
And while I agree with that, for me, if I had to pick one to go to for the rest of my life, it would be RM.
Mm.
I liked the more upbeat, constant interaction, seeing people and like being in the feeling, always feeling like I was in the midst of something.
I like that as well.
And if
I'm
looking,
we're social people.
Yeah. And if I'm looking for something, I want to be able to find it pretty easily. Yeah. So, you know, I liked Pearl a lot, but I think that the feeling that I got from RM was better.
I would agree. For us, I think it is better. So I have one last comment about Desire.
Okay.
And this is, I know, a bit of a sore point, but we're going to talk about it anyway. So on the Desire website, under the FAQs.
Yes.
Because it is a clothing optional, swinger friendly resort, but under the FAQs, one of the questions is, basically, what type of guest profile will I find at Desire? And the answer is, straight couples that are looking to enjoy a sensual time with their partners and rekindle the passion in their lives. So as a swinger-friendly hotel, which is what they say, they then say straight couples looking for a sensual time to rekindle blah, blah, blah. And this goes back to the Life on the Swing Set takeover is the only time of year in which gay and lesbian couples and triads, basically anything other than a straight-presenting couple, is allowed.
Yeah.
And I think that is a fault of the resort.
Yeah. That is definitely a fault of the resort.
Because it should be encouraged that anyone can go, whether you're two women, two men, whether you're a triad, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah. It's, you know, I will say it was very frustrating. The weeks that we had, and we'll talk about these in other podcasts, were vastly different. But one of the things that that still sticks with me is one of the nights at Pearl, there was during one of the shows, there was a bunch of people sitting around the disco on these little stools, and there were men and women. And the guy comes out and goes, "All right, you know, this is going to be a show just for the women. Men, get off the seats and let women take the seats." And it was a performer, and he was doing a strip tease for the crowd. And my thing is, why do you go to the effort of alienating a population of people when you could have just said what's going to happen and let the guys decide if they wanted to leave or not?
If they wanted to be in the front row.
So they actually, you know, the playmakers at that night went to the effort of alienating people.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you took an extra step that you didn't really have to take. And that kind of... that really sat with me very wrong. And I think that was something that sort of marred that experience, which may even mar my full experience of Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly saying that RM was likely the same way on a normal week.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just frustrating to go somewhere where it's very obvious that, quote, your kind isn't welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess leads to the last point that I would have which was recently tweeted about, you know, people asking opinions on Desire and what they think. Looking for advice on which one they should go to. My advice on something like that is do a takeover. Takeovers, I think, are the best way to experience a resort like that. Mm-hmm. And what you should do is research who's doing the takeover, whether it is Life on the Swing Set or We Got a Thing or Swinging Down Under, or there's hundreds of others, I'm sure, throughout the year that is taking over Desire, Temptation, Hedonism. Mm-hmm. You know, they're taking over these resorts. So find people whose swinging style, according to their podcast or according to their ethos, matches yours. Mm-hmm. And then go with them.
And the benefit to going with a group like that is that often, I don't know about all the other groups, but the two that we went with, they set up group chats ahead of time. And so you can get to know some of the other people that are going to be there prior to arriving. So you kind of start that conversation, start the experience. You can see who you may be interested in, may not be interested in before you ever get there. But it kind of gets you excited and gets you involved with the group before ever arriving. And then once you get there, you have a commonality with the people there. And so it's easier to spark up conversations. It's easier to kind of walk up to groups of people because you know that they're likely with the same group and they're of a similar mindset because they're there for the same reasons and the same group that you are. But again, you know, every group is going to have a little different feel to it. And so I like what you said, Bradford, about finding one that has a similar ethos to what you have. Because that's
going to... We all have a different style.
It's true. We do. And I think that will make it a much better experience for you to go with a group that you're like, okay, I think I'm going to really fit in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it is frustrating to be, especially bisexual. Yeah. And that website even excludes bisexual females.
Yeah.
Which, to me, is shocking as hell. Like...
If you're not a straight couple...
If you're not a straight couple, you're not welcome, is sort of what I read in that.
It doesn't even say straight presenting. It just says straight.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, oof. That's really archaic. And I would love to see the verbiage of that change.
I'd like to see it be a little more open-minded. And whether that really changes... And the question is, if they change the verbiage on the website, does that change the people that go?
Absolutely it does.
So,
you know, and it doesn't take a lot for, you know, because if if a trans couple were to look at that or a trans person were to look at that, they might immediately feel like they're excluded.
Like, I'm not welcome there.
I'm not welcome here. And that's not the way it should be. You know, we should try to create a community in which everybody is welcome, which is why I say find a group that matches the way you feel, that matches the way you think.
And the other thing is that if you look at it, there's not very many swinger-friendly resorts.
No.
There's a handful. However, then when you narrow it down to how many gay-friendly resorts are there, how many lesbian-friendly resorts, et cetera, and you start getting into the different groups and minorities within minorities, it becomes much more limited. And unless you present yourself differently, which is then not true to who you are, and it gets into this whole big other thing.
Ultimately, there's enough safe spaces for straight people.
Yeah, and you would think that being a swinger-friendly hotel, that they would be, or, you know, resort, they would be more open to other minorities and subpopulations, and let's just welcome everyone, you know?
But, you know, they're excluding the kink community, they're excluding the poly community, amongst other people, and that's really frustrating. But that's a minor nitpick. Yeah, yeah. I would love to see that change. I don't foresee that changing in our lifetime, but... Yeah. You know, I think at some point they'll have to change. At some point, the world is going to, you know, millennials.
Hopefully.
Are going to start pushing a little harder. And I would love to see that change. But I don't think that's within our lifetime.
Yeah.
So, any other closing comments? Would you go back?
I was going to say, my closing comment is that yes, I absolutely would go back. We had an amazing time at both resorts, and you'll hear more about it in upcoming weeks.
Sorry about that. You're going to be so sick of hearing about Desire.
Probably. But it really was, for us, it was, and I hate to say this because it sounds kind of cliche, but I will say that for us, I would say it was maybe not majorly so, but a little bit life-changing.
I would have said life-changing, absolutely. Yeah,
because it was just, and you'll hear more about why, and I know in the next couple we kind of go around in circles with a gentleman about it. So maybe we'll do a synopsis at some point. But for us, I think it was so different than anything we've been to and anything we've experienced. And just being in that kind of environment was just, I don't even know how to explain it, but it was just absolutely phenomenal. And it was exactly what we needed without knowing what we needed.
Yeah.
You know, going into it, we knew we were going to have a good time. I don't think we realized how much it would have meant to us, though.
I agree. It was something magical is the word I would use.
Yeah.
Which is, again, I feel silly and cliche, but it's for us, it was exactly what we needed.
Yeah, yeah. And I think even just going to a resort, being able to be naked, and we'll talk more about that because it's not always easy to be naked in front of hundreds of other people.
Yeah.
But just being able to be naked, drop the barriers, drop the shields, be who you are, and meet like-minded people from all over the world was just an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yes, we will go back.
Excellent. So if you have wanted to go to Desire and we haven't answered a question that you've had, please feel free to drop us a message. You can email us theatomsoflove@gmail.com. You can message us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. We are at By the By Podcast on all three of those. Our website is www.bytheby.com.au. If you'd like to help us out, and we definitely appreciate all the folks that help us out, we are www.patreon.com/bythebypodcast. Yeah, that's how you can get some cum rags of your own. It's through Patreon. And yeah, we definitely appreciate all the reviews that we get on iTunes, Stitcher, et cetera, or wherever you listen.
Yeah, and that's really important because it does help other people find us as well.
Yeah.
So if you have not left a review, please go on and do that. Mm-hmm. And if it's not necessarily a great review, please give us constructive criticism. Because,
yes, don't just say it's bad. Tell us why it's bad.
Yeah.
Come on. Tell us how to make it better. So yeah, and thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Hi, this is Jace, co-host of the Multi-Amory Podcast. We offer new ideas and advice for multiple forms of love, everything from conscious monogamy to ethical polyamory and radical relationship anarchy, and you're listening to a Swing Set Network podcast. Find us and much more at swingset.fm.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.